nice too.
How can I say how I feel? How can I know my love is real? How can I know through the storms that I've been that I love you more, much more than anything? I love you more than words can say. I love you more in every way. All of my love to you I bring. I love you more than anything. Now that you've seen how I've changed all of my life, Lord, you rearrange. I'm not the one that I used to be.
Oh, no, no.
Since I have found this sweet love in my heart,
Lord, I love you.
I love you more than words can say.
Words can say.
I love you more in every way.
More in every way.
All of my love,
all of my
to
love
you I bring.
I'm gonna bring.
I love you more than anything. I love you more.
So much
than
more
words
than
say.
Words can ever say.
I love you more in every
Lord,
way.
Lord, in every way.
All of my love,
all of my
to
love
you I breathe. I love you more than anything.
I love you.
I love you more.
So much
than
more.
I love you more,
I love you
in,
more
every
than every way.
Way.
In every way.
All of my love to you
I bring.
I love you more than
much more than
anything
I do.
I love you more.
So much
than
more
words
than my
say.
Words could ever say.
I love you more in every way.
In every way.
All of my love to you. I love you more than anything.
Should I love you?
I love you more than words can say.
Love you, Lord.
I love you more in every way.
With all of my heart.
All of my love to you I bring.
Whoa, whoa.
I love you more than anything.
One more time.
I love you more than words can say.
Love you, Lord.
I love you more in every way.
With all of my heart.
All of my love to you I bring.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
I love you more. I love you more. I love you more than words.
Can say, yes.
I love you more than words can say.
Can say, Lord.
I love you more than words can say.
The seminary has six men that can sing.
Yeah.
Amen. What a blessing. My name is Sean Paris, and I traveled to the Edmonton, Alberta, Canada Field School. Oh, there's a few Canadian fans out there. And they said I have 3 minutes to tell you what happened in 5 weeks, so here we go. No, I'm just going to take one story and share with you. My time there did not start off like I expected. When I got off the plane and was picked up, I was informed that I would not be rooming with another seminarian, but that my roommate would be a Methodist minister who was also coming to the evangelistic series, and I got a little nervous at that point. What is he going to ask me when the meetings are over and we go back to the house that we're staying at? What kind of questions am I going to get? And it was quite nerve-wracking until I met Bishop Earl Beckles. And when he arrived, he was the most gracious person I had met in a long time. Very friendly gentleman, very outgoing, very down-to-earth for a man who was such a high-ranking official in the Methodist Church. He was British and schooled in Britain, trained at Yale for Divinity School, and got his PhD at Cambridge. So you can tell that as I was finding out the background, my anxiety level was going up. I thought, what am I going to talk about? And he had an interesting story to tell me. He told me that he had started, he had picked up a book, The Desire of Ages, and had read through it, and decided that he had to get another book by this author, and the next book he came across was The Great Controversy, and he devoured that one. And he started to discuss with the leaders of his church their theology and said, you know, I've gone back to the original languages, and I've gone through what we teach, and there's no holes in this theology from Ellen White. And he then went and began to study with the president of the England Union, if I remember right. And as he studied with them, he became convicted that that many of his beliefs that he was holding were not correct. And the church became very unhappy with him, the Methodist Church, that is, and he offered them his resignation from the ministry. Now, that meant a big vacuum because he was administering quite a few other ministers, being a bishop himself. He was also teaching in their undergraduate theology program and helping to establish their curriculums in that program, as well as pastoring two churches himself. And so when he stepped down, there was a great void there in the Methodist Church in England. He left England and came to Canada in order to get out from underneath some of the pressures that were being placed on him there by people that knew him and so forth. And he went to Winnipeg, and while in Winnipeg, he was looking for Adventists that were willing to talk with him, to study with him more. And someone turned him on and said, if you want to know what Adventists know, you need to go to an evangelistic series. You can pick up all their theology, all their prophetic beliefs at their evangelistic series. And so he got connected with the most recent evangelistic series in Canada, which was the one that we were going to, and that's where we were connected. And to make a long story short, what a blessing he was to me. He ministered to me in more ways than I ministered to him. He really encouraged me in my faith, encouraged me in my walk in the ministry, and he became a true brother to me. We still converse via email and through infrequent phone calls because of the cost. And I remember as the time was drawing to a close, the discussion was whether to accept him by profession of faith, you know, how to bring him into the church, because he had said, I'm making my stand and want to become a Seventh-day Adventist. And when we approached him about profession of faith, he said, please do not deny me the privilege of being baptized. So we baptized Bishop Earl Beckles, and he is in Edmonton currently awaiting a position to be a Seventh-day Adventist pastor. And I say amen.
Good morning, seminary family. I want to tell you, first of all, that field school was a tremendously rich experience. And because it was a team effort and so many things happened, I've prepared a 3-minute report, Dr. Burrell, so I can get everything in. The Bible Speaks Hope Revival, which was a combined effort between 5 area SDA churches, took place at a Masonic temple across the street from Lake Merritt in downtown Oakland, California. The sprawling area surrounding Lake Merritt consisted of beautiful high-rise apartments, Chinatown, the library, and the main post office. It was in the hub of the city. The city of Oakland's population consists of approximately 400,000 ethnically diverse citizens and is a sister city to Berkeley, San Francisco, and Sacramento. The weather was absolutely gorgeous and it never rained. I learned that it normally doesn't rain in California until around October when the rainy season begins. Now, before you pack your bags to move out there, I want to warn you about the cost of living. A low to moderate income housing development was advertised on the highway, boasting of homes starting at $500,000. I assure you that it is a great place to visit, and if you have an opportunity, do go and check it out for yourself if you haven't already done so. 19 seminarians formed the team that worked along with the Holy Spirit and the five churches to yield a harvest of 41 souls. If the team members are here, please stand. God bless you. God bless you. As well, thank you. As well as doing visitations and Bible studies during the day, we served in putting out flyers in the community and around the lake as greeters, deacons to pick up the offering, parking lot attendants, and audio and video crew. We participated on the pulpit as song leaders, quiz masters in the opening and offertory prayers, and several worked within the children's ministries department. When I say that we worked along with the Holy Spirit, there was evidence of his power and providence which accompanied the effort. And I like to give you three examples of this. Lucille Dabney, a nurse, and I struck up a friendship due to our common backgrounds in nursing, which led to a conversation on a Sabbath where at lunch she started asking me questions about Sabbath observance and work. As a result of that conversation, Lucille informed me that she was one of the people that accepted a flyer around Lake Merritt and came to the meetings. And as a result, she was baptized and we remain in contact with one another. Chris, a young man who was baptized during the revival, the providence of God had it so that one of the seminarians by the name of Howard Duncan, they found out that they both attended the same high school in Delaware at the very same time. An older man by the name of Norman Neblett made it quite plain from the very beginning that he had been in the church as a young man, and after decades of being away from the Lord, that he wanted to recommit his life to the Lord, and he did it by being rebaptized into the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Charlene, a woman that Tessine worked with, when she heard the health message, she asked Tessine and Sean to go home with her to help her get rid of all the unclean foods that were in her apartment, and she too became baptized. Now, time does not permit me this morning to tell you about all of the experiences. But I want you to know that we also met spiritual opposition, and we ask that you pray for those who did not come forth. And we pray that the Holy Spirit will continue to pursue and woo them to himself and to this great church. And last of all, I like to say that my own soul was deeply touched and revived. Pastor Timothy Nixon preached his heart out night after night, and I too was rebaptized as a working member of the team. I recommitted myself to the Lord. And I want to say to all of this, to God be the glory. Great things he has done. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. Paul said, I have become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. I went to Riverside, California and participated in the field school. And I was a little bit more intentional in going to the field school. I had prayed and fasted in advance that God would give me 20 baptisms. When I got to Riverside, California, I then began to fast from meat, from sugar, which was my vice, and then also my main vice is golf. I didn't even take my golf clubs to Southern California. because I was intentional in letting the Lord use me. Well, when I got out to Riverside, California, it was truly a blessing. My first 2 weeks there, we had one off day during the week, which was Thursday. I chose to work through my off days because I really wanted the Lord to do a mighty work for me. Prior to going to California, I had spent 21 days in Africa doing evangelism. And so going to California and or seeing what I had happened in Africa, I was intentional about asking God to do the exact same thing, if not in a grander manner, in the United States. Well, I ran into a young lady one day on my second day there as I was going out and giving out Bible studies. I had had a lot of closed doors in my face, not a lot of people receptive. I went into an apartment community, which was a gated community, and I happened to see a family coming in. A young lady had 5 kids. She was with her brother and her brother's girlfriend. They had pushed a shopping cart into the apartment community. First thing that hit me was to help them. So I said, hey, it looks like you all need a hand. And so I went to the cart and started unloading the cart, 2 flights of stairs, going into their apartment, dropping off their groceries. Well, of course, I had an agenda, and that was the Lord's bidding. Once I got the groceries into the house, I then began to share with them why I was there. We're in the neighborhood. I'm from a local church, Kansas Avenue. We're in the neighborhood giving out Bible studies. Would you be interested in receiving a Bible study? And then the lady says, yeah, I'd be interested in taking the Bible studies. And then her brother took the Bible studies and his girlfriend. And then she began to share with me a story of her transition. She said, I'm interested in a church. I have just come out of a church because one of my little kids was in this particular church and they told her that she was filled with a demon. And so I was like, well, you know, we won't have that problem in our church. I'm sure she's just an active 2-year-old. Well, to make a long story short, eventually she came into began to attend the meetings every night. And the nights that she weren't there, the very next day I would visit, and she would always tell me, well, I wasn't there the last night because something came up or the baby was sick, and I didn't push her pride. I just said, okay, well, I'll be here this evening. Is that okay? She's like, yeah. To make a long story short, 5 of her whole family got baptized with the exception of her brother. And the night before a baptism, her sister came to visit who was going through some traumatic things. I had an opportunity to talk with her, and her sister as well accepted the Lord Jesus Christ and was baptized as well. So the Riverside School, we had 25 people get baptized the very first Sabbath. We had 16 slated for the following Sabbath and then another 12 on the third Sabbath. The Lord did not bless me with 20 baptisms, but 20% of those that got baptized, I was able to help lead to the Lord. So I am thankful for that. And I'm not bragging, I'm just testifying to how good God is. And I want to leave these words with you from the pen of the inspired writer. First, meet the temporal necessities of the needy and relieve their physical wants and sufferings. And you will then find an open avenue to the heart where you may plant the good seeds and virtue of religion.
I was born a crippled man. My feet were crumpled, pointed inwards. By all reality, I should never have walked. But the Lord chose through modern medical science to help me to be able to walk. And through the years, I've always wondered, God, why me? Out of all the people out here who can't walk in this world, why have you chosen me? And as we were running from house to house, from door to door in Peoria, the words of the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 10 came to my mind. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things.
I was born a crippled man, with ugly feet I could not stand on. For years I prayed, oh Lord, make my feet beautiful. And as the years have gone on by, the feet the Lord has healed, and I am thankful He has finally made my feet beautiful. Lord, please let these feet be beautiful and sweet to all who've never heard Your holy word, be it here or o'er the sea. Lord, please let these lips proclaim the precious gift of Your salvation, sweet, pure and complete, through Your blood that washes. Make my feet beautiful. Sometimes these feet, they carry me to places where I should not be. It's then I need to my feet beautiful. No matter which side of the sea I'm living on, my prayer will be, oh Lord, make my feet beautiful. So Lord, please let these feet be beautiful and sweet to all who have never heard Your holy word, be it here or o'er the sea. Lord, please let these lips proclaim the precious gift of Your salvation, sweet, pure and complete, through Your blood that washes me, make my feet beautiful. Brother, are you running with Jesus? Are you like Jonah running away? My sister, do you feel you have no more strength to carry on? Let us seek the Lord and pray. Lord, please let these feet be beautiful and sweet to all who've never Your holy word, be it here or o'er the sea. Lord, please let these lips proclaim the precious gift of Your salvation, sweet, free and complete, through Your blood that washes me, make my feet beautiful.
Good morning, and happy Sabbath. It is that spirit of fellowship that we have on Sabbath morning, which I enjoy this morning. Amen. And moved with compassion, he stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, I am willing, be cleansed. I wanted to try something different field school, and so I did the holistic small groups field school. And what I learned and am convinced about is that I care about the process as much as the result, and I feel that this process is very unique to this field school because it seeks to touch and heal the whole person and not just convert them religiously. We have a video we're showing.
Thank you. I've been asked to let you know about the Peoria Field School. There were 24 seminary students who went, one who was scheduled to come who could not because his family was affected by the disaster down in Hurricane Katrina. But the 24 of us that were there learned a great lesson. And the lesson is that the gospel of Jesus Christ works through us all no matter who we are or how prepared we are to do it. What we discovered was that even before we got there, there was problems. But prayer and worship helped those problems. The four churches that were involved in the crusade were four churches that did not get along with each other. There was bad blood between them. And before we ever got there, they got together on a Sabbath. And Pastor Burl gave them a moving presentation, a story about the old stone church. This was a church that needed reconciliation. And what he had them all do is he had them take a small stone out of a basket and put it in their pocket and carry it with them no matter where they went to remind everyone that he who throws the first stone. As you can see, that object lesson permeated through the entire program. The first night, we had over 500, almost 600 people show up to the meetings. It was quite the task for 24 of us to handle. But Dr. Burl and Dr. Schmidt were very confident in the fact that we could go out, we could meet with these people, and that the Lord would work through us. And that's exactly what happened. You see, there were church people there, more church people than we expected, but there were also unchurched. And I just want to tell you the story about a few of them. First of all, there was Donna Wash. Donna came the first couple of nights with her and maybe one or two other people. By the end of the seminar, we realized that she had 6 children. I'm still counting. I don't know if we still got them all. But all of them were baptized at the end of it all. They were unchurched people, people who needed Jesus Christ in their lives. Because this is what it's all about. This is what evangelism is all about, is it's all about people. It's all about taking people and having them reach for that golden ring that Jesus Christ offers us. I want to tell you the story about Paul. Hallelujah, Paul, we called him. Paul sat right on the front row of the meeting hall, and every night he raised his hands every time Pastor Bro made an emphatic statement, Hallelujah, praise the Lord, through the entire meetings. Well, let me tell you, it got to the last of the meetings, and Paul was one of the ones that had not been baptized. And so we were scheduled, and Pastor Bro walked up and said, Hallelujah, folks, guess what we're going to do tomorrow night? We're going to baptize Paul. Everybody in the place knew Paul by then. And everybody hallelujahed. Well, that afternoon before his baptism, we got word. He got a call. He called his George, who is his person, and he said, I don't think I'm going to do this. We were all just devastated because we had really pitched this thing. Well, Pastor Burl and Dr. Schmidt did not leave it just to us on that one. They went right to Paul. They spent the afternoon with him, and that evening, in front of that whole crowd, Paul came out of the water. And everyone in the place just lit up with, Hallelujah, praise the Lord! 200 people celebrating the baptism of Paul. But you know, the bottom line is that we realized the best thing about this, and I was one of those skeptical people. I'm pursuing chaplaincy. Why do I need to know how to evangelize? But I learned a valuable lesson from this trip, and that is that it's absolutely amazing to watch the Holy Spirit change the lives of people. And to think that in 5 weeks, people go from not knowing Jesus Christ to going through buying into all the 27 fundamental beliefs of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. At the end of it all, they're standing up evangelizing other people that are coming to the meetings that are struggling and making the same choice. It's absolutely amazing, folks. And there is a great opportunity for you to go and to learn and to see Jesus Christ working in people's lives. And I ask you to pray prayerfully. I appreciate Ron. Prayerfully seek the fact that Jesus can use you in the lives of other people. And remember, most of all, when you go, to carry your stone, so that you do not look at how others are doing it, but rather how you can do it the best for Jesus.
Well, good morning. I guess they put me at the end here because I was joking around with Ainsworth that I wanted to make an appeal and little decision card thing at the end here. So they said, well, we'll give you lots of time, Steve, so be ready, okay? No, I'm kidding. I actually had the chance to go to Vancouver, Washington, and attend field school. And I thought it was a pretty good place until I just found out this morning that they're going to have one in Hawaii. So I was like, man, I should have waited for that one, you know? But we had a great time. Jack Colon was the evangelist out there. I'd never heard of him until I went. He's the evangelist for the North Pacific Union. And if you ever get a chance to work with Jack, I would recommend that you take it. He's an incredible evangelist, and the Lord really blessed. There were 7 other seminarians out there with me. We were part of a small group, but the Lord really blessed. The meeting was not a huge meeting, but the successes were ones that God gave us that were really incredible. We were blessed. I wanted to share something with you this morning, 3 things that I learned from my experience in Washington. I could tell you statistics, I could tell you things like that, but I wanted to share 3 things that really impacted me from this experience. The first thing was that the 3 angels' messages that we as a church exist, I believe, to proclaim, those messages, I believe, from this experience are still more relevant than ever in our world. And, you know, just seeing night after night, Jack would get up, he would share, he would show how these messages that we find in Revelation 14 impact people's lives in today's world. They're answering questions that people have today. And night after night, it just amazed me to see people come, and they would soak this stuff in, and you could see that they were, their questions were being answered, they were growing. The second thing I learned is that as a church, the message that we have is a message that people out there are looking for. They want this message. In fact, it reminds me of that quotation where Ellen White says that all over the world, people are praying for light. And she says, prayers and tears and inquiries are going up to heaven asking for light and for the Holy Spirit. And many are on the verge of the kingdom just waiting for us to come and gather them in. And we saw that. We saw people coming. We saw one couple, for example, that came, Sam and Tommy Stevens. Sam, by the way, is a lady. And Sam and Tommy would come. They would sit in the back every night. Sammy had been at work, and she had heard an advertisement on a rock radio station, and something about Revelation on there just piqued her interest. She decided she was going to come. And so they came every night. She would tell us stories about her exciting past. She still carried a handgun around in her purse wherever she went. She was a really colorful lady. But as we would talk with them after the meetings, it was incredible because Tom was a former Catholic, and he would tell us, man, you know, this is just, you know, my church has duped me, and I don't know what, you know, what's up with this, and he was kind of getting agitated about stuff. But they would come. They were excited. They fell in love with Jesus. They fell in love with the truth. And they were the first people in the baptismal tank. Sammy, the lady, she was the first one to come up out of the water. And you could just feel the Holy Spirit in that place as you saw the smile on their faces and the joy that they had. So the second thing I learned was that we have what people out there want, this message that this church has been given. And the third thing that impacted me from this experience was that God is looking for people like you and like me, people who will go out and share this message. But not just share it like, hey, you know, this is something I've got to do, but be passionate about sharing this message. You know, it's not because we're so great at doing it that God gives us the opportunity to do it. Maybe some of us are, but I don't think I am personally. But I think it's because we need this experience in order really to know God better ourselves. I don't know. I just look at the events that are happening, and it was funny because, or it wasn't funny, but it was ironic, I guess you could say, that Hurricane Katrina happened just about the time that our meetings began. Maybe some of you had that experience with your meetings as well. And Jack Colon, who was the evangelist, actually had grown up in New Orleans, and so he was able to really use that experience to kind of make a bridge and tell about what was going on there. Jesus is coming soon, and he needs people who are passionate about these messages that we've been given. And I just want to encourage you as you go on in your seminary studies, maybe you've got field school ways down the road, keep that fire burning. Keep that fire burning, because I'll tell you what, I believe he's coming soon. He wants us to get out there and give this message to the world. Thank you.
And those are just a few of the exciting stories that came out of the field schools this year. And we hope it's whet your appetite for your experience in field school. And if you want a life-changing experience, when you go to your field school, go with the right attitude, and you'll be surprised what God will do through you. You should have received the list of field schools for 2006. We're still working on a couple of them there. But today is sign-up day. And what we ask you to do is take your choice of and put down 1, 2, or 3. Which is your first choice, your second choice, and your third choice. As you go out this morning, there'll be somebody there that will collect these yellow sheets. By the way, this is only for second and third year students. It is not available for first year till next year. So you're going to have to wait a year. But we have 9 field schools scheduled this year, so there's plenty of room for everybody. And you make your choice as to which one you want to go to. I'm going to ask the 6 guys that sing to come back. Did you like them? That's what we had all the time at our meetings in Peoria. And these guys had never sung before together. And they thought at the end of the meeting, said, this is the last time we're ever going to sing together. They didn't know about today. And they did so good, they even cut a CD that and made it available to the folk. So... guys, go on with it.
Test. Testing.
It's all as planned. I think you knew right from the start just what the end would be. And I believe that Jesus, he
did it all for me.
And I believe that Jesus, he
did it all for me.
You say is so.
Yes, sir.
Well, don't you know he rose again? That's all you need to know.
Yeah.
He came, he prayed, he went and died. Did all that he could do. And I believe that Jesus, he
did it all for me.
Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, did it
all for me. Oh. All for me.
Oh, how I thank you, Lord, that you did it all. I think you knew right from the start just
just what the end would be. And I believe that Jesus, he came and
did it all for me.
Glad that you
did it,
yes,
all for me.
Thank you, Lord, you
did it all for me.
Has been amazing. Would you guys please join me as we speak with him right now? Our Heavenly Father, we want to thank you and praise you for the work that you have done in the field schools. But Lord, above that, we want to thank you and praise you for the work that you're doing in our lives. Lord, I want to pray that you will fill this room right now and touch each one of us. Anoint our hearts and our minds and our lips and our bodies. Lord, I pray that we won't stop ministering for you because field school's over, but we will make our lives a ministry for you. Lord, I pray that you will use each one of us in a very powerful way, and I pray that you will show us today who you are and what you can do in and through us. Lord, we love you so much, and we thank you for the awesome opportunity to be your representatives. Lord, we pray that we will not take that burden lightly. We love you, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen.